Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. Can we try that one more time? Good morning, everybody. I'm so excited to be here with you. My name is Shannon Baxter. I'm the pastor of Congregational Connection here at West End, and I'm so excited to be here in worship with each one of you this morning. If you're a first-time guest, we are so thankful that you're here with us today, and I would encourage you. We have pew pads you can register your information. I invite everybody here to do that, not just our first-timers. If you're joining us first time online, I invite you to join with the links online to let us know that you're here and how we can connect with you. We've got a lot of stuff going on in the life of the church over the next few weeks. So I want to encourage you to take your bulletin home with you and pin it up on your fridge and reference it a couple of days a week just so you can see and be on top of what's going on. After the 11 o'clock service today, we invite all college students to join us for Chat and Chew, a meal on us. So if you want to come back, you're welcome to after the 11 o'clock service, and we'll walk to a restaurant and have a great fellowship time together. Our trunk or treat is tonight from 3 to 5 in our lower parking lot. All families are invited to come to that. Our preschool is helping to put that on, so we will encourage everyone to come and celebrate the season. Tonight at 4 p.m. is our Mozart Requiem. Our choir and music ministry will bless us with that amazing performance, and so I want to invite you to come back for that at 4 o'clock tonight. Next Sunday is All Saints Day. That is the day that we celebrate and honor the people who have been members of this church that have gone on and completed their journey. That will take place during both worship services next week. Next week, we also have the West End Family Meetup. If you have a family and you would like to meet up with other families in the West End community, we will be gathering at Bringles Barbecue on Centennial Boulevard at around 11:30 next week. So that information is in your bulletin, but just wanted to let you know about that. And then coming up next week is Election Week. We invite you to look at your bulletin and our church website for resources that can help guide you through that season. Prayer resources, we have some podcasts going on for a couple of days that week. Our sanctuary will be open virtually from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. on that Tuesday. And then we'll be open starting at 5:30 p.m. that night physically for you to come in and spend some time in quiet reflection. That following day on Wednesday, we will have our first Wednesday time together. We'll eat supper in the fellowship hall downstairs, and then we will come up here for a time of communion and prayer. Please check your bulletin and take that home with you, as there's a lot more in there. One other thing that has been mentioned the last few weeks is that we are in the middle of our stewardship campaign. It's the time where our church leadership and staff look ahead to 2025 and see where God might be calling us into service. Today is Giving Sunday. You may have received an estimated giving card in the mail. Some of you may have already turned that in, and some of you may have brought it with you today to turn in. Today is that day where we celebrate what God is going to do in our midst, and we celebrate the commitment that we make to stepping in out in faith and serving God through this church. Well, our main focus of our estimated giving campaign is on the monetary donations that meets our budget and helps guide our ministries. It is also a time that we recognize that it's more than just our funding that helps guide our mission, that leads us through into the places that God wants us to do. Not only do we promise as members to give of our gifts, we also vow to give of our prayers, our presence, our service, and our witness. So I want to encourage you throughout the worship service today, I want you to pray a prayer and ask God what God might be calling you to do in addition to your monetary gifts this next year. How are you being called to serve God in this church and in our community? If you so choose, you're invited to take one of the pew cards, the prayer cards that are in the pews, and after you've filled out your prayer request, on the back, jot down where it is that God may be calling you into service this next year. If you need more time to consider that and think about that, feel free to take it home and spend some more time in prayer. But we want to be sure that everybody knows that God calls us to give of ourselves, all of ourselves, to the work of serving God through this church. Let us now open our hearts and minds as we come before God in worship.
Come on, God. Please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin.
God of grace, show us your love this day.
Have mercy on us.
Clear our lives of all that clouds our vision.
Have mercy on us.
Lord Christ, have mercy upon us. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. Merciful God, thank you for loving us in all things. In the midst of noise and chaos, thank you for responding to our cries for your embrace and healing. God of every ache, help us to befriend our bodies. Awaken a compassion, a tenderness to the parts of us that are hurting, changing, or tiring. Help us to exist in the truth of what we need. Give us the courage to ask for your intervention so that we may be restored and strengthened to follow you. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 823 in your Pew Bible or page 338 in the Story Bible. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time with us. If you're joining us online, if you're joining us online, I invite you to come a little bit closer to the screen. All right, I'm so excited to see you all this morning. There's like so many of you guys. And y'all that sang this morning, you did such a beautiful job. Thank you for opening us up in worship today. I have a question for you guys to think about. How many of you have ever asked your parents, "Where are my shoes?" Have you ever asked them where your shoes are? Let's see, what else? I can't find my stuffy. Where is it, Mom? Yeah. Oh my goodness. That is the worst thing. That's so great. That's the worst thing, to lose what we're looking for. And let me ask you this. After you asked your parent where it was, how many times have they turned and said, "It's right there"? "It's right where I put it. It's right where I left it." Oh my, yes, I do it all the time. I will admit that I sometimes lose my keys, and they are right where I put them, right where I last had them. I also have met some people that have said, "Where are my glasses?" only to remember that they're actually wearing them. How many times have we forgotten the things around us? We fail to notice what's going on. In today's scripture, Jesus turns to the city of Jericho and helps them to remember something that they forgot. Helps them to remember someone that they forgot. Someone they stopped noticing. Jesus took the time to listen to someone named Bartimaeus. Someone that people overlooked. So Jesus wanted to teach us not to overlook those around us. So I think one thing we can learn from this is that we need to notice what's around us in order to do what God wants us to do. Whether we're at school, we're at home, what are the things that we're not noticing that God wants us to be a part of, to help someone's day to be better, to help the world be a little bit better? So think about that each day. Look for something new that maybe you've forgotten, and maybe God will show you the way that you're called to serve others. Can y'all pray with me? Dear God, we give thanks for this day, and we give thanks for the opportunity to notice the things around us. Help us to be open to the ways that you share yourself to us and that you call us to serve the world. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, if you are 3, 4, or 5 or in kindergarten, you're invited to go to a children's church. If not, you can go back with your family. I will admit that in some ways it felt a little too personal just now to reveal that I forget things. I forget where I leave things sometimes, and I don't know where they are. And I'll ask my wife, and she says, yep, they're right there where you left them last time. I know we all have our moments, but it's when someone points them out to us that they seem all the more pointed. In today's gospel, I think we hear Jesus pointing something out to the people of Jericho. He's taken a moment to help them to see something they've forgotten, something important, someone important. If we consider what we know about the city of Jericho, where today's story takes place, those of us who have been through Vacation Bible School or loved watching VeggieTales as we were growing up as a kid will remember the famous city from the Old Testament. It's the place where the people of Israel claimed the promised land. They marched around the city, blew their horns, and the walls came tumbling down. This is a place of some renown. This is a big story in the Old Testament. It's only about 20 miles due east of Jerusalem, so its crossroads were a place of importance for many people, especially pilgrims, as they were on their way to Jerusalem. It was a town that held a lot of significant importance for the people of Israel. Knowing this, it struck me that the story of Bartimaeus is the only one we see out of Jesus' trip to Jericho in this moment. Truth be told, Mark is a very concise writer. Being the shortest of the four Gospels, he has Jesus quickly traveling throughout his ministry, using the word immediately quite frequently. As we read the opening sentence, we can assume that Jesus did some fairly amazing things in the city of Jericho because as he is leaving, a great crowd follows him. Jesus, no doubt, did many other places, preached the good news of God's kingdom, performed miracles, and showed compassion in a way that people had not experienced before. Yet Mark doesn't record any of that. The author only takes notice of Jesus' closing encounter with the city, and it doesn't offer the best impression of the city residents, to be honest. After seeing the wonders of Jesus in their city, the people attempt to quiet a beggar who wanted to be a part of what Jesus was doing. No doubt, they experienced this person quite regularly. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming through, he became excited. He had heard about the miracles Jesus had performed and the words of love and acceptance that he preached. So he cried out to Jesus. Here was his chance. Yet the people tried to quiet him. Bartimaeus, as so many others we have read about in the Gospels, relied upon the kindness of the people around them when they couldn't work to earn their living. In fact, there is a direct correlation between poverty and disability that spans history and even is pervasive in our world today. These individuals would place themselves in the middle of heavy traffic, hoping for kind souls to give them alms that they could exchange for food or shelter. Sounds somewhat familiar, doesn't it? Why wouldn't they want Bartimaeus to interact with Jesus? What did they think was going to happen? Regardless of the reasoning, we see Jesus break through it and take the time to listen to Bartimaeus. And it's the fact that Jesus is listening and the way Mark records the encounter that can help us see the beauty of such interactions throughout Jesus' earthly ministry. An interesting note to consider is the fact that Bartimaeus is actually named in the gospel. As I mentioned before, the author Mark is very concise. So the fact that he took the time to not only record the name of Bartimaeus, but he mentioned his father as well. All of that information gives us reason enough to pause and wonder. Mark's words are intentional. Again, we don't hear about anyone Jesus met in the famous city of Jericho, yet we hear about the person who is blind outside the cities. Perhaps the author's original audience knew who Bartimaeus was or who his father was. So this would make the story more personal for them. The account, as recorded in the books of Matthew and Luke, do not name the people being healed. So to hear a story about someone they knew who interacted with Jesus and who is changed by that interaction helps to increase the tangibility of their faith, to make it seem more real. We all can attest to the power of story to speak to us on a very personal level. For each of us, there is probably a story that someone shared that helped to make faith in Christ more personal for us and opened our heart to the love of God that has been knocking on our doors all our lives. A more academic take on the story is to look at the meaning of the man's name. Bartimaeus simply means son of Timaeus, yet the name Timaeus in the Israelite's native Aramaic tongue means unclean. So son of the unclean. Yet in Greek, Timaeus means highly prized. Son of the highly prized. What a juxtaposition here. It encapsulates the ministry of Jesus in such a beautiful way. The ways of old would heap the blame for blindness on the individual, claiming that they are unclean because of something they did or something someone in their past did, yet they are reaping the consequences of. Because of this, some would think that they are not worthy to speak to the Messiah, hence the attempt to quiet him. Yet the gospel teaches us that Christ sought out those who were marginalized and raises up them to a place of honor. Last week, Pastor Amy helped us to understand this through the story of James and John as they requested Jesus to sit at his right and his left when he comes into glory. Jesus' response is that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The economy of importance and power is flipped on its head. Here, Jesus continues to drive that home. Therein may lie interpretation for the author's decision not to record anything that happened within the walls of the city of Jericho. The important story here is not that Jesus did amazing things and people from the great city of Jericho followed him, but that he gave time to someone others deemed unclean or unrighteous simply because of a disability or a perceived lack. And because of that attention, this man's faith in who Jesus was and the impact that faith had on his life was made public. So how can this story highlight for us the way of faith, the way of acknowledging God's work in the world and our need for God's presence in our own lives? Bartimaeus' actions give a powerful example of how we can recognize this work. Upon hearing it was Jesus who was coming, he remembered the accounts that many a traveler would have said to him as he sat in the crossroads, about how he healed the sick, healed someone else from blindness, raised someone from the dead, or preached in a way that was powerful. The people marveled at the way Jesus spoke and acted, and Bartimaeus picked up on that. And so when he hears that Jesus is coming out of the city, he sees his chance. And he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." These seemingly simple words would later become the foundation for the ancient Christian practice called the Jesus Prayer. "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." The practice of praying these words repetitively goes back to the beginning of the Christian monastic movement, much like a breath prayer. Praying these words repeatedly allows the heart and mind to focus on who Jesus is and recounts our need for God's grace. According to author Tony Jones, it is a continuous, uninterrupted call on the holy name of Jesus Christ with the lips, mind, and heart. And in the awareness of his abiding presence, it is a plea for his blessing in all undertakings, in all places, all times, even in sleep. Anyone who becomes accustomed to this prayer will experience a great comfort as well as the need to say it continuously. They will become accustomed to it in such a way that they will not be able to do without it, and eventually the prayer will flow in them. Bartimaeus cries out with these words of identification of who Jesus is and puts himself at the whims of Jesus' mercy. Upon hearing that he has been invited to come, he jumps up and throws off his cloak and comes straight away. The act of throwing away the cloak in and of itself is an act of faith. For someone such as Bartimaeus, the cloak would have been the way that he collected his livelihood. As I learned from our Vandy Divinity School student, Ray Green, this cloak was an avenue he used to collect the alms that passerbys would give to him. In immediately throwing off this cloak, which he would have no idea where it went if he was continued to be blind after the encounter, he fully embraced the promise that Jesus represents. He is making a statement that the life that he had once been accustomed to living is coming to an end. There is no thought in this moment that Jesus will not help him to a new life. The question Jesus offers to Bartimaeus is so important here. What do you want me to do for you? Such an open-ended question, almost like a blank check. How would we respond to that question? The rich young man that Pastor Will preached about 2 weeks ago was in effect asked this question by Jesus and was unable to live up to what Jesus was offering. James and John were asked this question by Jesus and were offered a challenge to think differently about the way of faith. How would Jesus respond to Bartimaeus's request? What exactly would he do with what Jesus offered? In this moment, the man responds with his greatest desire, the greatest barrier to his faith, I wish to see again. A huge ask, a leap of faith to think that Jesus could or would accommodate this for him. And Jesus simply responds, go, your faith has made you well. And upon receiving that sight, the man follows Jesus. That is his response. That's how he takes what it is that Jesus did in his life in that moment and turns it around in response, much akin to the way the disciples turned when they were asked to follow Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. Here we see a remarkable example of co-laboring. Jesus replies to Bartimaeus' request with a suggestion that the faith it took for him to throw off his cloak, to throw off his livelihood, and the physical manifestation of all of his prayers, and lay his greatest need at Jesus' feet was an important piece. It was an important part of his healing. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus is visiting his hometown and is unable to work many miracles because of the people's lack of faith in who he was. In our denomination's theology, we believe that God has given all people free will or the ability to make their own decision whether or not to follow Christ. The ability to do so is a gift of God's grace. But we do have a part to play. Our faith has a part to play in how God reveals God's self to the world. We have been given agency. And this is yet another way that God shows us God's immense love for who we are. Salvation is not forced on us, but is lovingly offered. We are constantly wooed by God to respond with faith and humility. Bartimaeus' faith takes a role in his healing. Now, this does not suggest that God cannot act unless we believe, but it does say that our faith has a part to play in the way that God is revealed to the world. We are invited to notice for ourselves where God has intervened in our lives and the lives of others, and to make that known to the world we come in contact with. God will never stop offering God's self to all people, and our activity alongside God's does have efficacy. What a rich story. We could probably go on for some time gleaning much more from what we read on these pages, from how God chooses to interact with the world, who God chooses to prioritize, or what we are called to do in response. The gospel writer puts the story of Bartimaeus' healing as the most significant event that happened when Jesus went to Jericho. What does that say to us individually? What is God calling this congregation to prioritize in its ministries? Those questions are not mutually exclusive, but are integral to the church's mission in the world. We are called to have faith and to participate in that faith. How do we do that as we look ahead to 2025? How do we do that as we simply walk out of these doors today? May we have the faith of Bartimaeus. May we recognize Jesus' reordering of the world by bringing us side by side. May we listen to the call to give over all of ourselves to the work of revealing the love of God to all creation. Amen.
At this time, I ask that you please rise in body or spirit and join me in professing our faith with the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may we be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. If you would like to share your prayers with the pastoral team to pray through them throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us under our website. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed. Please take note of the prayers listed in our bulletins and keep those names and situations in your heart throughout this week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. This morning, we offer prayers for comfort and presence of compassionate love with Matt and Joan Morrison as we mourn the death of Matt's mother, Betty Morrison. The funeral for Betty is Monday, October 28th, at Hillsborough Church of Christ. And at this time, now let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of life-giving love, with each new morning, we praise you and thank you for your faithfulness. Daily, we are reminded that you have started a good work in us and you will see it through. We know this to be true, O God, but as we look out our windows and within our homes, we grow weary. We witness wars where death tolls climb higher each day with no end in sight. We feel the tensions rising in our neighborhoods as we near an election. The weight of bad diagnoses, long recoveries, and tragic losses weigh heavily on our shoulders. We feel as if we are surrounded by darkness. In your mercy, lighten the darkness that surrounds our hearts. We humbly ask that you give us deep hope and resilient faith. We pray for peace in the Middle East, for peace in Ukraine, for peace in our neighborhoods, in our schools, and in our homes. God, today we pray for our elected officials and for individuals running for public office. We ask that you guide them to promote peace, justice, and love. We pray for our country that regardless of the result of this upcoming election, we do not forget our call to be good neighbors or our call to be a beacon of hope and a source of love to those in need. By your Spirit, bind us together. Guide us in our discernment as we seek to discover how we can carry out your true and holy will. And now, Let us pray as Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
As we come to this regular time of giving, where we receive our tithes and offerings by the passing of plates, or by giving online through our online portal, this is also our time where we are turning in our estimate of giving cards. It's the moment where we commit to the work that God is going to do in this place this next year. Those can be done through the offering plates just as normal. At the beginning of today's service, I issued a challenge to consider what more that we are called to do beyond our financial givings. If you have had a chance to jot those down on a prayer card, you're welcome to put that in the offering plate, or you can go online and fill out the online prayer request card, and we will gather those and consider ways that we can be the most effective, faithful disciples this next year. We are always excited to hear and see what God is doing in your life, and we want to know how God is calling you to serve in this place. As we consider the goodness of God in our lives, may we strive to be as generous as God has been to us. Pray that our tithes, offerings, talents, and time be given with joyful hearts. have a seat for just one moment. There's a piece in our bulletin that didn't make it in today. We are so excited whenever we get to welcome into membership new people in this church. I continue to be excited about the ways our doors are opened and that people still call this home. So I'd like to invite Scott and Bailey Boyle to come forward. Are they here this morning? Scott and Bailey. Oh, no. All right, well, we will do this again. I will encourage you that we do continue to have membership classes throughout our time here throughout the year. So if you are interested in what life looks like here as a member, please feel free to chat with me. I would love to talk with you about that and our process is of welcoming new people into our congregation. I invite you now to stand as we sing together hymn number 553, and Are We Yet Alive? Myself off. Receive this benediction today. As we hear the story of Bartimaeus, may our hearts be opened to the ways that God calls us to notice the world around us. May we have the faith of Bartimaeus to cry out to Jesus and offer ourselves back to him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace.